Turn in your copy of God's Word to Psalm 1. These are the songs of the pilgrim. They are not just songs of a pilgrim wandering alone. They are the songs of a great company of pilgrims. Down through the ages, they have been called out by God from the place and the people of their birth. Over the long years, they have been told more and more about who they are and what their God intends. Through sayings and songs, they come to know the great pilgrim who would one day come and be God living in a human tent. Pilgrims are not wanderers. They are travelers. They know they are on a journey, for they affirm that this place is not their home. They will live here well, but they live here with their hearts in the homeland and their eyes on Mount Zion, for they long for their King. They sometimes cannot see clearly because of the dirt of the world, and they sometimes see through blurry tears, and they sometimes stumble because the path is long and the way is weary. The body is weak. They travel in company with other pilgrims. And as they travel, they sing songs of the King. And they sing of the King's people. And they sing most about home and the day they will arrive safely there. And the pilgrims' songs sometimes soar in worship. And sometimes they groan in pain. The pilgrims sometimes are perplexed. The pilgrims' songs are most often sung to the King, but often they simply sing to each other, with each other, and for each other. These songs tell the story of the heart, the landscape of the soul's wretchedness and the soul's wonder. These songs are filled with wisdom, and they soar with worship, but they are always sung on the walk, in the way, on the journey. For they are songs of the pilgrim. They are sung by sojourners. And we will join them, these pilgrims. And we will learn their songs. And we will hear them. And we will sing them. And we will heed them. For we are these pilgrims. Why are the pilgrims different from those around them? This psalm sings about what makes the pilgrim a blessed person. Blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the wicked, nor walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night, for he is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. Like the chaff, the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. This is the first of the Pilgrim songs. Father, at one time your people sat down by the rivers of Babylon and they sang songs of home in Zion, songs of longing. And you had put them there as exiles, sojourners, away from the homeland. And now we are like them. And we take up this altar, the songs. And we look to them and we learn from them and we lean upon them. And we love them and we want to live them. Transform us by your grace. And all God's people said, Amen. As we watch the company of the pilgrims, look at how they are described in their character. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor seats in the seat of the scoffers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. In their blessedness, in verse 1, the pilgrims are described as being blessed. Blessed is the man. What does this mean? How are we to understand what this word and this phrase? Blessed can mean happy, being happy, or having a sense of joy and a sense of sort of well-being. It's as though the psalmist said, happy is the man who. Blessed can mean receiving something good or desired, especially we think of blessing from God. It's as though the psalmist said, the man who is described after this will receive good from God. But blessed also can mean having God's approval. It's as though the psalmist said, pleasing to God is the man who. While all three meanings are intertwined with one another, in this stanza, the pilgrim is one who is pleasing to God. They may be happy or joyful, but frankly, sometimes not. And they may receive good from God that goes beyond their expectations, but because of what these pilgrims reject and embrace, they are in fact blessed. They are pleasing to God. In the Old Covenant, this blessedness came through covenant keeping of God's people. They kept His law. They did His word. Our being pleasing to God flows out of our relationship with Christ, who has always pleased the Father and pleased the Father on our behalf. They are the blessed in their character because they are pleasing to God, but how are they pleasing to God in verse 1 and what they reject? The blessed pilgrim rejects three sets of sad progressions. They reject the downward progression in the way they live and their lifestyle. This is marked by three words that you see here: walk, stand, and sit. They reject the downward progression in the way they think and who shapes their life. This is marked by the words counsel and path and seat. And they reject where that lifestyle comes from as well as leads to. These are marked by the words wicked and sinner and scoffer. For the pilgrim is aware of the dangerous slide into easy comfortableness with the wicked. Christians who do not watch their hearts may be subtly drawn into becoming comfortable with the advice and the lifestyle and eventually the scorn of unbelievers. The blessed pilgrim avoids and rejects the advice or counsel or words of the wicked. This is not just formal counsel or even casual advice. This is including all of the ways that unbelievers can influence and affect the pilgrim's thinking. I'm not saying we can avoid them all, nor should we necessarily. But we should not be intentionally seeking them out to transform our lives. We should be poised to weigh carefully what is said to us. And it is even more important to be discerning of those nice, moral, helpful, kind people who live next to you, but are in fact unbelievers. One ancient commentator has noted, the psalmist shows how by little and little men are ordinarily induced to turn aside from the right path. They do not, at the first step, advance so far as a proud contempt of God. But having once begun to give ear to evil counsel, Satan then leads them, step by step, further astray, until they rush headlong into open transgression. End quote. The blessed pilgrim then is oh so careful of the deceptive and destructive effect of becoming what wicked are. These words for the unbeliever are essentially the same in this stanza. They do point to different expressions of wickedness. The ungodly are people who are willfully and persistently evil. Sinners are those who miss the mark of God's standards but don't care. The scornful make light of God's laws and ridicule what is sacred. When laughing at holy things and disobeying holy laws become entertainment, people have reached a new low. So this isn't what they reject, but they also are blessed in their character in what they embrace. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The pilgrims get their direction for life from the word of God. The psalmist will often refer to the law of the Lord, and we'll hear this often as we walk through these psalms. This is the way he refers to the scriptures. For David, the law is the Bible that he has. His direction and guidance for pleasing God come from God's word. He turns away from the world, but he turns towards the word. And the psalm sings of a wonderful cycle that moves from delight in the word to meditation on the word. This leads to greater delight in the word and then to deeper meditation on the word. And it's a wonderful cycle. So your attitude towards the scripture will cause you to move toward engaging the word or not. You will delight in something whose worth you value. You will desire what you delight in, and then you will engage the word. And engaging the word then fuels more delight and more desire and more doing of the word. Meditation then is an intentional concentration on the word of God. We read it, we write portions of it down, we think on it, we mutter it to ourselves all the day. So biblical meditation is not some mysterious exercise of emptying your mind in order to hear God speaking in some inner voice. Meditation is the taking in and the thinking over the word. That is how you will hear God's voice. It will be in the word. Instead of emptying our minds, we in fact fill them. The godly person described in verses 1 to 3 is surely a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to John 14:6 is the way, similar to verse 1, the truth, similar to verse 2, and the life, verse 3. He listened not to the words of the world. Jesus gave himself to the scriptures, even though he himself was and is the very word of God. The blessed in their character, that very blessedness as they please God in what they reject, as they reject the way, the counsel, the place of the sinner, and in what they embrace, they delight and they do God's word. But notice what they are compared to in verse 3. The psalm sings what the blessed pilgrims are like. He, this blessed man who delights in the Word, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. Man is usually likened to changing grass or fading flowers, and in verse 4, like chaff. But a tree is a fixed thing. It has roots that are deep. They are planted by rivers. Trees don't plant themselves. We are the trees of the Lord, for pilgrims are God planted. A tree is a growing thing whose roots draw up nourishment from the rivers of water. Even when in the desert, like in Jeremiah 17, the well-planted and watered pilgrim will grow sustained by the Word and the Spirit of God. Pilgrims are God-planted, and pilgrims are God-nourished. The tree is a living thing. During winter and summer, he keeps on developing. The leaf also shall not wither. Pilgrims have then a God-imparted life. And they are a fruitful thing. Few objects in nature are so pleasing as a prosperous tree. We will yield our fruit in the right season. Pilgrims produce a God-given fruit. We are God-planted and God-nourished, and we have a God-imparted life, and we produce God-given fruit. Where are they planted? Well, the water in the Old Testament is often used to refer to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The blessed pilgrim will be someone whose roots go deep down into the Word. Their faith is cultivated and obedience is rooted out the water of the Word and the Spirit in your soul. You will quickly wither and fail. So what do they produce? The pilgrim, the Christian, is a fruitful tree. The life of God in our souls produces fruit in our lives. The fruit is of many different kinds. Sometimes it's called holiness and righteousness. Sometimes it is described as good works. But the apex of fruitfulness is those graces produced by the Spirit. How do they prosper? The Old Testament, prospering was largely in material terms. To prosper meant to have good success in family, in farm, or business. But Christians on the journey are looking for a different kind of prospering. Yes, doing well in family and finances are always welcome. There's no spirituality to poverty. But we will not measure what prospering means by the counsel or the lifestyle, or the values of the world. We look for a prosperity in personal spiritual growth, in corporate practical maturity, in sustained ministry effort, in commissional expansion, and in our heavenly eternal reward. So pilgrims may appear outwardly pure, poor, but yet are prospering in all the ways that really matter. But look at their consideration. Verses 4 to 6. I want you to notice the change in voice. The song now, it's not about the pilgrim. The psalm now sings what the pilgrims observe, discern, what they conclude. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. What do they observe? They see that the wicked are not like fruitful trees. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff. Chaff is the husk around wheat. When the wheat is harvested, it was taken to threshing floors. There it was beaten, or the word threshed, to break the chaff loose from the core of the wheat. Then it was thrown up in the air. And because the chaff had no weight, was very thin and light, the wind blew it away. And the heavier wheat fell back down to the floor. The pilgrims are fruitful trees, permanently planted by waters, living waters that produce fruit in its season. But the wicked are wind-blown chaff. So what do they conclude from this? They conclude then that the wicked will not stand before God's judgment. God's judgment will be, and the wicked fly away. Nor will they stand in the company of God's people. The wicked cannot stand before God nor stand among God's people. The pilgrim then sees the future that is facing the wicked. And while the pilgrims live in the world among the wicked will have no place in the pilgrim's final home. Why is this true? All of this is true because of God. He knows them both. He knows their ways. He approves and watches over the pilgrim's way. He does not just know about them, but He knows them intimately. And it seems that the way of the righteous is permanent and lasting. That is because, in contrast, the way of the wicked will come to an end. Do you see the contrast? The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked comes to an end. Like their ways, the wicked will come to an end in judgment. What does this all mean to we who are pilgrims on our journey? Some questions for us. Whose advice and counsel guides your life? Does your lifestyle then reflect that? Do you live like who you listen to? Do you desire, do you delight in the Word of God? Do you delight in it in such a way that you engage it regularly? If you don't, then you will have nowhere else to go but to the world. And that is the pathway that leads to sin against God and to scorn of His Word. Does your life spiritually look like a growing fruitful tree? Can you read this description right in the middle of this psalm and say, yes, in ever increasing ways, this is me. This is what God is doing in my life. Not in a way that is spiritually proud, but in a way that glories in God. We don't want to be unthrifty trees. We don't want to be unfruitful. We don't want to be withering. We don't want our roots going down in the world. We want our roots going down in the Word and Spirit. We want the life flowing up in us out of God in His Word and Spirit, so that what is produced is all the variegated kinds of fruit that God produces. And so then our prayer, like the prayer of Philippians, may your life be all covered with that harvest of righteousness which Jesus Christ produces to the glory of God. How do you measure success in your life? Finish your sentence. I am prospering when... Are you prospering when? How do you think of the wicked? Do you admire them and their ways? Listen to me, young people. Such a tendency. Who are your heroes? Who do you look up to? Who, though you might not mimic them, you certainly admire them. And I'm not talking about gross sinners. I'm talking about maybe your nice moral neighbor who doesn't believe in God. Do you witness to them? because they're good and moral and nice and they're helpful and they come over and you have barbecues together and at some level you're their friends. Do you see their end? Do you know that they will not stand in the day of judgment? Do you realize that they will stand before God and He will go, and they will flitter away? Do you speak to them about the grace of God? Do you use your relationship as a way to carry the gospel across? Are you even willing to risk the relationship for the good of their souls? Do you believe that the wicked will perish? Not that they will blink out of existence, but rather they will suffer in an everlasting torment. Righteous wrath of God. May you be a blessed pilgrim, delighting in God's Word, growing in maturity, and bearing spiritual fruit. May God grant that we will be a church of fruitful trees, deeply planted, bearing much fruit, bringing great glory to God. May we be this blessed pilgrim. Father, we desire this. We hunger for this. We want this to be not only our song, but what is sung over us. Not for our own glory, not to promote ourselves, but that we might boast in You who have caused it all to happen. Make it so. May we be pilgrims. Blessed. Till You bring us home. In Jesus' name.